Welcome to What in the Smut podcast,
where the books are horny and so are we. I'm Elle.
And I'm Kay. So what do we got going on in the Smutverse this week?
Podium Entertainment found itself in hot water yet again. A feature in Forbes revealed that Podium has embraced AI in production and marketing. While they still rely heavily on narrators, the CEO, Scott Dickey, was quoted as saying, "We pay close attention to AI. Nonfiction AI narration is getting better. Things are moving quickly. We're fast followers, not leaders." This sparked a firestorm on social media from authors who are already staring down the barrel of a future where AI steals all of their work and then replaces them, and they're not too pleased about the idea of it being used in any part of the process. Penn Cole, best-selling author of The Spark of the Everflame, posted on Threads, "The Podium CEO freely admitting to Forbes that they use AI in marketing and production is only surprising in how little they understand or respect the author and narrator communities they rely on."
Yikes. I don't like it. I remember a couple weeks back, there was the one that one of the reviews had said, like, you couldn't even tell that it was an AI narrator.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it so much. And as somebody that, like, enjoys doing that side of the publishing and bookish community as well. Like,
yeah,
there's so many talented people out there. And yeah, I get that it's easier to use a computer, but I had seen something that had said, like, I want AI to do things like my dishes and
I was
my
literally
vacuuming,
just thinking this. Yes.
And not my art and my creative process. That's the whole point, is to make life easier so that you have more time to do the things you love to do, not to make things easier for the big corporations to make more money and continue to create that gap between the average starving artist, if you will. It's just, it's shitty. I don't like it.
It's so shitty. It's so shitty. This was not the future I was promised.
Oh, man.
Why do I still have to fold my own laundry?
Why do I still have to drive my own car? Although I guess they're getting closer with that. But still, I'd like to be able to teleport at this point. Thank you very much.
I know. God.
They'd never let teleportation happen because it would ruin the airline industry.
Airlines, car,
train, all of it.
Buses, trains. No, teleportation, if it were ever discovered, would immediately be killed.
Which makes you question, has it already been discovered? Dun, dun, dun.
That's an existential crisis for another day. Now, it seems that Podium Entertainment will most certainly be receiving coal in their stocking this year, but not so for the main character of the book we read this week. Kay?
So this week we read The Naughty List, and there's several titles out there with the same title. This is by Ellie Mae McGregor, and the synopsis says, while delivering presents on Christmas Eve, Santa gets a gift of his own. Kate isn't sure if Nikolai is the real deal, but this silver fox with big hands and thick thighs might just make her believe in Christmas miracles. See if Kate has been naughty or nice in this light, fun, steamy, 15,000-word holiday romance with a guaranteed happily ever after. Perfect.
It is. Fantastic. It's exactly what you want for the week of Christmas.
Yes. So Merry Christmas to all of our listeners that celebrate. We are excited to talk about this one. Where would you put this on our smut scale?
I mean, it's hard to put it any higher than a one. Like, it's like there is like a brief moment where I guess you could consider it very, 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 very light dubious consent because she thinks he's not real at first.
That's true.
But I don't think it really counts. And the rest of it is just so vanilla and so sweet, but just, I think it's level one.
Very vanilla, but a delightful vanilla. It was a lovely change of pace, I feel like, from what we
typically. A vanilla
typically,
bean, if you will.
The expensive kind.
Yeah. With
Madagascar.
Real vanilla. Yes. An elevated vanilla experience.
That being said, there's no real trigger warnings in terms of like sexual trigger warnings. There is mention of divorce, mention of the ex-husband kind of using dubious strategies to take the kids away on the holidays, which could be triggering for some. Yeah, we'll get into that all of that in a bit. But yeah, I think that that really is the only thing I could think of that was really...
I mean, I guess Santa does kind of break and enter. I know that's just Christmas. It's just that, like, if it were any other time of year, a man appearing in your house would be alarming.
Yes.
You know, I just... For our listeners who don't celebrate Christmas, it could be a trigger.
Okay, that's fair. I'll give you that. That's fair.
It's a stretch, but it feels worth calling out.
You know what? We reach. That's what we do here. So that's fine. I'll give you that one. So for this, it had pretty good ratings. 3.9 on Amazon, 3.6 on Goodreads. A 5-star from Amazon says, ho, ho, ho. This book does exactly what it says on the box. Santa does a lot of very filthy things to a hot single mom. They fall in love. Honestly, if Hallmark did more stories like this, they'd be raking it in.
True.
Ellie Mae does do some lip service to the mechanics of Santa, and it's enough to suspend our disbelief. But that's not why any of us are here. Definitely get this book and end the year on a high note.
Yeah, I like that.
3-star says Santa-based erotic romance. This is a fun novelette. This was a light and lively read written with an irreverent tongue-in-cheek humor and a lot of sexy times. It does a lot with consent and with validating unconventional reasons for a woman to seek a divorce, and it's pretty cute. It's an erotic romance novelette based around Santa, so there isn't a lot of story. It is insta-love to the max, not meant to be serious, and extremely spicy. I recommend this if you're Santa kink curious or looking for a delightful and fun Christmas-themed, highly erotic romance.
Santa kink curious is,
I loved it.
Is not on my 2025 bingo card, but
I mean,
I'll take it.
I love it.
I'm on board. A 4-star on Goodreads. It just says, I'm sorry, Santa has a nipple ring.
Goodreads are always the funniest reviews.
Truly, I feel like Amazon reviews are like, here's why I liked it. Here's all the details. Here are the different tropes that you'll probably like. And then Goodreads is like, I'm trying to go viral on Twitter.
Yep.
Speaking of, finally, a 1-star from Goodreads. Lol, Santa has a phone number.
As always, we are going to do a full rundown of the plot. So if you're interested in giving this one a read, it is pretty quick. There's some good stuff that you might want to actually read in this one. So go ahead and click the link in our show notes to get right on over to that. And we will be right here waiting for you when you get back. Ready to get into it?
I'm so ready.
So when I read this, I had had a rough day. It was just a rough day. So when I sat down to read this, the dedication, like,
yeah,
really spoke to me. And I was like, oh, man, I needed that. It says, for anyone trying their best right now, whether that's cooking 4-course meals for your family, working on your manuscript, or spending all day in bed eating Doritos, it's a hellscape out there. You're a rock star.
I love that. It definitely spoke to me. I feel like this time of year, especially, is just like,
it's hard,
rough.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark. It's cold, and yep, you're spending way more time with your family than is healthy.
Which for some people is great, and for some people can be really stressful and really triggering.
It's just exhausting.
For all of our listeners, take care of yourselves and maybe read a smutty book about banging Santa Claus, and it'll help get you out of a funk.
Yeah, almost assuredly.
So we start with Kate. Mm-hmm. And Kate is almost divorced. She is a single mom of 2. And her ex-husband had shown up that morning on, is it Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve.
With cruise tickets for his 2 kids and himself. So they were on a plane to Miami and she was alone on her first Christmas.
Yeah.
Not with the family that she envisioned. And oh boy, did I feel attacked.
You're in this picture and you don't like it.
I did not like it. And I was like, okay, I got to keep going through this one. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. It ended up being a nice little nod to a lot of life things. So it was a good one. But it does say Kate, for the first time in over 15 years, was alone on Christmas Eve. And I'm sure we've got plenty of single moms out here listening that can feel the heartbreak of being without your kids for the holidays. Or if not, I mean, anybody that's lost somebody can also feel that same kind of a little piece of yourself is missing. Absolutely. And whether that's grief over death or over a future that's different than what you thought it was going to look like, it's all grief. So it says she had put on some sexy but comfortable lingerie, poured a generous glass of wine, and had pulled up the filthiest erotica she could find on her e-reader. That was like, been there.
Yeah. I mean, God damn, if this isn't us. And honestly, I need the book rec here, because it says the book was a menage between heroes and villains that had Kate sweating.
Yep.
Girl, don't leave me hanging. Can always use a good book recommendation. But yes, it says she felt a pang in her chest after the characters cuddled after their first bout of hot, kinky sex, because it wasn't that Kate couldn't make herself feel good. She had that talent in spades, but she missed the feeling of big arms curling around her, of calloused hands exploring her body. Fuck, she missed kissing. And like, what a mood.
Yeah. I mean, and even the happiest single person still has that moment every once in a while.
Yes. I had that moment.
You can be very, very happy in your singleness, and you can be living your best life and still want human affection and attention sometimes. So, like, I get it.
Yeah. Shout out to the aromantics who will never suffer this. Like, y'all are built different and I respect
that. That's a good point. That's an excellent point.
The aroace community is just like, couldn't be us, fully fulfilled by our friendships. Get lost. But I digress.
So then we kind of get Santa's perspective.
We do. This was a interesting take. We do love when magic gets explained to us. And I will agree with the reviewer that was like, the logistics of Santa were spelled out just enough to be helpful to suspend your disbelief. I did find it weird, and we do get it explained a little bit, that Nikolai is our main character, and he is Santa. And his brother, Nicholas, was the previous Santa. His brother recently moved down to the Keys with his wife 5 years ago. And Nikolai had become Santa Claus when his brother retired. It was the happiest moment of his life, but now it was really beginning to feel like a job. His dream job, but a job nonetheless. Not a life. He wanted a partner and kids, a family. Nikolai was tired of waking up in bed alone.
So it gives you that emotional tug towards our MMC.
Indeed.
It does say that he had dated a bit while he was second in command, but there was never a spark. And it says maybe Nikolai was too much of a romantic, but he was Santa Claus. How could he believe in magic and Christmas miracles, but not believe in love? It all starts very sweet. Like, it gives you the romance, despite the fact that, like, this is a holiday erotica.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the romance piece of it. It's not just, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We get some of it. I mean, we were more than halfway through the book before we actually got any real sex. So
that's
compared
true.
To what we've been reading, this was another slow burn.
We really picked him well this holiday season. I did love, now that he was Saint Nick, he had no idea how to date. Want to come back to my place? It's at the North Pole, but don't worry. If we take my sleigh, we'll be there in no time.
Could you imagine being out in the dating world and having some man say, I'm Santa Claus? No. Okay. Okay.
Okay, blocked. Buddy. Yeah. So basically, time slowed for Nikolai every Christmas Eve, allowing him to deliver gifts to children all over the world in one night. Time moved even slower when he needed to rest. So he comes across a cozy brick home with a wide chimney and a yard big enough for all his reindeer. He glanced at his watch. Time was slowing. It knew he needed respite. If this house had a big enough couch, he would rest there for a few hours. So that's kind of where we get like the Christmas magic a little bit of, yes, he's doing an impossible task of delivering Christmas gifts to everyone all over the world. And time basically slows down so that he can accomplish that.
So he gets inside the home and the couch is already taken. The couch he wanted to take a nap on is already taken by none other than our female main character, Kate. Mm-hmm. So it does say, despite regularly sneaking into people's homes, Nikolai was not a voyeur. He took his job too seriously for that. Still, he couldn't keep his eyes from traveling lower past lush, kissable lips to, holy shit, a blanket covered her lower half, but on top, she was practically naked. Pale, creamy breasts threatened to burst out of a thin satin bra. I mean, I hate the word creamy when talking about skin tone.
Yeah. I don't like it. It's a choice. It's a choice.
So we get, she's having a sex dream.
Yep.
Which, as she's sleeping, she starts to move to touch herself again. Mm-hmm. And then she wakes up.
But she doesn't know that she's woken up. She thinks yes. She's still dreaming. I did like something was making sound in Kate's living room. Probably the cat attacking the Christmas tree again. Fuck, she thought. Which is such a vibe for those of us with feline friends at home. Because that is exactly how I would react.
So she kind of wakes up. And then she says that her dream had just been getting good and sexy, but that was Kate's life, she thought, cock-blocked, even in her dreams. Awesome.
Yeah.
And as she blinks open her eyes, standing before her was the sexiest man she had ever seen, and he looked like Santa Claus. Well, if Santa Claus had been a Playgirl centerfold, this man looked like if Santa played rugby and chopped wood in his spare time. Like, the description without actually describing him.
Yes.
Perfect. No yeah. notes. Like,
no, it was really well done.
Yes. Give me a Santa Claus that plays rugby and chops wood. You know exactly yes. what that looks like, and you want him to take his Santa coat off.
Yes. Absolutely. Also, the thing that I find interesting is that I feel like this is indicative of the difference between men and women, especially in terms of, like, as you age, the men that you find attractive also get older. Whereas, like, if you look at, they did, this is like the quintessential study. They basically graphed out between men and women the ages of partner that they found most attractive. And mm-hmm. like women, it's like, it's a X and Y of like their age versus the age of the people they find attractive. And it's just like a straight line of like, as you get older, the people you find attractive get older. And then for men, it like drops off at 25.
Which is funny because I feel like now the 25-year-olds, 25-year-old men are like looking for the 35 to 40-year-old women.
Yes, but that's because they need a mother.
Then why aren't the older men looking for that too? Because it doesn't stop.
Yeah. No.
But, I mean, you see like Bill Belichick with his 25-year-old girlfriend. And he's like in his 70s, I think. It's icky. And I love an age gap romance.
Girl, get that bag, because we best believe that Bill Belichick has got a lot of money. And I wish all of the best for her. But like, sometimes I wonder if it's worth it, man. Like,
old wrinkly balls.
Yeah. I'm leaving that in. So Kate thinks to herself, yep, still dreaming. And she ran a finger absently around her nipple. Merry fucking Christmas to me. Which, what a vibe.
What a vibe.
And Nikolai is just frozen in place.
I can't picture any of the men that I know not panicking in this situation.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So like you've got a stranger that is has not even spoken to you and is now beckoning you to come near them. Like any of the men that I know, I feel like would be like, what's happening? But it says she crooked a finger at him and he was helpless but to obey. Although when he was finally standing in front of her, he had no idea what to do to himself. Like this is realistic. Yeah. This is.
Yes, it's perfect.
So he knew what he wanted to do, fall to his knees and suckle those beautiful breasts before burying himself between her thighs. He was but a simple man. But before he could do any of that, she reached out and palmed his cock. Who was this wicked creature? He opened his mouth to say, well, a number of things. Thank you. Marry me? I see you found my cock. Would you like it inside of you? There were a lot of parts of this book that were really funny.
Yeah.
In the way that's like the realistic hilarity of sex, you know?
Yes. But not in a way that's like the awkward reality of sex, I feel like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like Sabrina Cross does a really good job of making sex very, very real. And it's too real for me. I need there to be some unrealistic elements because I want it to be sexy and not like, oh, yeah, this is exactly what it's like to be entirely in my head. But this was like just a splash of like, yes, this is very sexy and this is very erotic, but also it's like sex is funny and it takes you a moment to kind of like figure out what you both want and what you both need out of a certain situation. And like, I really enjoyed this one.
Yeah, me too. She says to him, well, fuck, Santa, you must be on the naughty list. Which, I mean, the book is called The Naughty List and I loved it. And then she whispers in his ear, was I on the naughty list this year too? And then says, well, then I guess I need to be punished. In the dream, I can see it happening.
I could not be this bold even in my dreams. Absolutely not. My awkwardness transcends the waking consciousness.
That's fantastic. But like then to realize that it's not a dream.
Yeah.
The cringe factor afterwards, I wouldn't be able to get over it.
No.
I would be rethinking things for the rest of my life.
Correct. Yes. But we're not there yet. First, she asks, how am I to be punished? And he reaches down and slaps her ass, tentative, wanting to gauge her reaction. And it says he spun her around and pushed her down onto the bed so her ass was in the air. She arched her back, sticking it out even further. He felt something warm inside of him when he noticed that at the top of her panties, right above the cleft of her ass, was a black bow. He knew this woman wasn't his and her ass was her own, but in that moment, it felt like a Christmas present just for him.
It was good.
It's so good.
It was really good.
I do not like that he called her pussy pretty. And he calls it pretty multiple times.
I mean,
I hate it.
So I took a human sexuality class in college, one of my favorite classes I've ever taken.
Incredible.
And it was one of those like kind of a throwaway class
for
like
totally.
For psych credits or whatever.
Yep.
But everybody loved, and it was an older woman that taught the class. And she basically said, gentlemen or ladies, if you are ever presented with the opportunity to see a vagina, consider yourselves the luckiest. This is the most beautiful thing in the world. Like, basically, like, reverence to the vagina.
I love that.
Like, I mean, it's been years and years, and I still
and
remember
still
that class because it's like, yeah, you know what? Men should be lucky to see it.
I mean, they certainly should. I don't, that's, you know what? That's fair. I think. No, this is good. This is a good an introspective moment for me because I think I have some internalized feelings about vaginas.
Okay.
I think I need to get over that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Vaginas are beautiful.
And they're all unique.
They are unique. That's true. I mean, I guess I like pretty more than I like Free Use Thanksgiving, where he said her pussy was so fucking cute.
Yeah.
And he wanted to take a picture of it. And I don't like that.
Yep. Uh-huh. No, I agree. Yes.
But this is a reverence
he's admiring it, not wanting
infantilizing it.
Yeah, or wanting to save it for later. Like,
yeah.
He's living in the moment and admiring it. So, yeah.
You're right.
So she still thinks she's in this dream. She's True. Telling him more harder because he was slapping her ass again a little harder.
She waited. Wanted him to talk dirty to her.
Yeah. I don't think he's spoken yet.
Well, she told him not to.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to say something and she says, don't say anything, not yet. And so she told him not to speak. He fucking obeyed, man.
I love a man that hears a boundary and sticks with it.
We respect it. So she dimly remembered that she had asked him not to talk. Stupid Kate. This was her dream, though. She should be able to make him talk just with a thought. So she thought and thought, yet he said nothing. He brought his hand down again and it hurt. Not too bad, but it burned and it felt real.
This is like better than pinch me.
I'm deceased.
So she realizes like, oh no, this is not a dream. And yep. Then she scrambles to the other side of the bed. Santa, or whatever his name was, still sported heavy-lidded eyes and a Woody. But both his hands were held up in front of him like she was a small woodland creature he didn't want to spook. Well, too late. Call her a cornered beaver. Hilarious. Hilarious choice of words there.
Yes.
Because she was officially spooked as hell. And she says, what the actual fuck?
And he is confused because he thought that she was on board, given the beckoning and everything. And he says, I'm so sorry. Did I hurt you? His accent was Northern European and his voice deep and rough. Despite the sinking sensation that she had made a serious miscalculation, she felt her toes curl. And she looked down and noticed one of her boobs was still hanging out of her bra. She plopped it back in and goes, you're real? This isn't a dream?
That was too much for me.
Yeah. Now it's too real.
Yeah, now it's too real. So then he panics and he's like, I'd just been touching this woman. She thought it was her imagination.
Yeah.
It says that did not sit right with him at all. He felt his stomach tighten. His arousal quickly turned to nausea. Yes, I'm real. I'm so sorry. I thought you knew. I can go. And she says, oh, no, you don't. Who the fuck are you? And what the hell are you doing in my house? So the shock has worn off and her fight, flight, or freeze started off as freeze. And now she's like, no, we're going to square
up. She's fighting now. And he replies, my name is Nikolai. She gave him a look that said, and? So he continued, even though he still felt a little silly using his formal title, I'm Santa Claus.
So this, we get a little bit more of the look into the magic. And she's like, why are you putting presents under the tree? My kids aren't even here. And he's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, damn, they're in Miami.
Yeah.
It must have been last minute. I've been at this nonstop. I'm still human mostly. I make mistakes sometimes. So that freaks her out because she goes, how do you know
where my children are?
Yeah. I get that. The internet is a scary place.
Totally.
So you want to keep your kids safe even when they're not with you.
Yeah.
So then he starts saying, last year, Joe got a Star Wars Lego set. Nolly got a chemistry kit. And she goes, yes, I know. Adrian bought those things. That should have been your first sign. A man doesn't buy the Christmas presents. There's your red flag.
Oh, my gosh. So he says, wait, he racked his brain for some way to prove this to her, that he not only wasn't some horribly creepy stalker, but that he was real, that everything he said and did was real. And he held his hands up to show her they were empty, feeling like a cheap magician. And then he flipped his palms down and out poured snow.
I mean, there's so many ways that this works in a book, and if it was in real life, would not at all.
No. Oh,
if
my
a
God,
man
no.
that just slapped my ass started to do a magic trick, I'd be like, I'm out. No, thank you. It was nice to meet you. Have a lovely day.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So he's explaining how adults just assume that, especially when you live in a house where your kids get a lot of gifts, for other types of households, keeping the secret is harder. But oftentimes adults assume the gift they don't remember buying was purchased by a partner, their parents, their sister, and then they forget. But I don't. I remember every toy I've ever delivered to a child. And she says, that sounds exhausting. And he says, sometimes.
It's very like, I see you moment, which
yeah,
I like it.
Yeah.
So she goes, you're really here. You're really, I can't even say it, Santa Claus. There is a 50% chance that Santa slapped my ass while I screamed about how naughty I've been this year. Amazing.
And he goes, that did really happen. It was awesome.
So good. So good. So he is reaffirming for her that like all of her, what you would overthink and think like and cringe about yeah. was great for him too.
Yeah.
Which is important. He asks what her name is. She says, you want to do it again?
It's so good.
And then he kisses her.
Yeah.
And when their lips met, he felt it. A spark. I mean,
so good.
We all want that spark.
And then from her perspective, it says he nibbled on her lip and then his tongue slid into her mouth. She wasn't in her head. She wasn't worrying that she wasn't a good kisser. She had no space left in her mind for worry. Not when his tongue brushed against her own, not when she sucked on his lip and he let out a throaty groan, not when he gripped her ass with one hand and knotted his hand in her hair with the other. Not when he acted like he couldn't get close enough to her, like he couldn't get enough of her.
Damn.
That's a good kiss.
That's a great kiss. The hand and the hair thing.
Oh, I know.
Does it for me.
Hell yeah. Yes.
So she does say, you gonna spank me, Santa?
I mean, I did. There was a moment where it was too real, though.
Yeah.
Before she settled down. It says, when he pulled away, they were both breathing like they'd run a mile. He was looking at her like he wanted to eat her for Christmas dinner, and she had no idea what to do next. She had to say something. Well, that was, you were, we should probably have sex, if you want. She inwardly cringed. Very eloquent, Kate. Way to go.
We do get, he let out a booming laugh, and anytime a laugh was referenced in your head, did you go, oh, 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 oh? Because I did.
Honestly, I didn't. And I'm so glad that I didn't speak to you first, because that would have ruined this for sure.
Every time, because there were a couple times that it talked about him letting out a big booming laugh or whatnot. And every time it was, oh, 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 oh. I don't know. It didn't ruin it for me. So maybe I do have a Santa kink.
We learn something new about ourselves every week.
Every week.
So he tells her he's not going to spank her. Then he says, there's another way I'd like to punish you. Help you work your way to the nice list.
Damn.
Nice. Nice work. I'm on board.
She says, how's that? And he says, I'll show you. But first, we have to get you out of these clothes. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot for, listen, for the late 30s divorcee with a praise kink,
huh?
All of this worked.
Yeah.
All of this worked.
I'm not going to lie. The only reason why this didn't work for me was because I was like, this is so okay.
So you were just picturing me the whole time?
Yes. I was like, I feel like a voyeur right now because this is Kay. So his form of punishment is not allowing her to come until he says.
Which, and, that didn't work because can't be me.
I mean, edging is.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Top notch. Top notch. He says, you're so pretty when you beg. Tell me, beautiful, how'd you get on the naughty list? Tell me one naughty thing you did this year and I'll fuck you with my finger. And like, she delivers, for the record.
Yeah.
This could never be me.
No, me neither. And also like wild with what we get. So she says that she wore a vibrator to a work conference that she was forced to go to. She didn't want to go to this conference. And every time one of the speakers said something that made me angry, I turned on my vibrator. And basically she came during this conference, like, it sounded like 8 times.
Yeah. Once during the expense management panel, again in the enterprise risk management panel, 3 times during a panel called Finance of the Future, Building Financial Reporting Resilience in the Cloud, and once in the elevator just for me. So 6 times.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Wild, wild, wild. He said he was supposed to be punishing her, making her beg to come, but he was going to be the one to break. He had to see it. So he says, I was going to make you wait, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Be a good girl and come for me.
Yeah. So, but it's not.
It's a gentle demand.
It is. I don't know. It feels less like a demand and more like, now I'm going to give the movements and necessary, like, stimulation for you to come.
Yes. This was one of those things where, like, we've read books that we've said we want to
feel
the orgasm. Mm-hmm. And this was fantastically written.
It was.
A deep guttural sound escaped her lips as lights flashed behind her eyelids and waves of heat and sheer pleasure radiated from her core. She came and she came and she came. Pleasure reached the tips of her fingers and toes and she felt nothing but pure, unadulterated bliss.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Like, great description and really makes you, like, be there in the moment with her.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Very well done. If I needed any more indication that you are this main character, it says...
Yes.
Her eyes trailed down his body to find his pants shoved partway down his thighs and his hand curled around his thick shaft. The tip was red and leaking pre-cum. Her mouth watered. Kate didn't always enjoy giving blowjobs, but she found herself wanting to lick that stream of pre-cum. One, because it'd be hot, and two, because he was motherfucking Santa Claus. His jizz probably tasted like peppermint, hot cocoa, and the spirit of Christmas. How could she not want a taste?
Preach.
I was like, Jesus H. Christ.
And not the peppermint part, but hot cocoa?
Uh-huh.
Hot cocoa in the spirit of Christmas. Fantastic.
He basically says, get on your knees. I want to see you come like you came in that room full of people. But this time I want you to come for me. This time I want you to come with my cock between your lips. So she gives him a blowjob. She has a thing for cocks. This book, I think, really is kind of a love letter to genitalia in some fashion. Because,
which, I mean,
I don't actually mind it. It's interesting because I've clearly never thought of vaginas as beautiful, but she says that she loves cocks. She knew that many would disagree, at least on the aesthetic appeal, but she loved the way they looked, loved how smooth they were, how silky they were to the touch. As a rule, she thought that cocks were pretty, but this man's penis was a goddamn work of art.
I mean, but then we get, as always, he was so thick, her fingers didn't quite meet. That's not going to be pleasant, though they do use lube.
But first, she's going to make him come with her mouth.
It does say she figured Santa would be big, but holy shit. Thankfully, Kate liked him thick. I mean, I can't say that I've ever thought about whether or not Santa would be big.
Yeah, me neither.
I have now, but...
True. Yep. So she took her mouth away from his balls and kissed his upper thigh. She was getting close to, her legs were shaking and her sex clenching, aching to be filled, but she couldn't wait. She spoke against his skin, come for me, Santa baby. And so he comes.
But that's great also, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. He asks, I have one very nice but dirty girl. Where do I take her for a shower? And she points in the direction of the bathroom and then realizes that her right hand is covered in cum. Santa's cum. The cum that had the potential to taste like sugar cookies and warm hugs, and it was about to dry and she may never know of its magical properties. So she licked it.
I mean, I'm guilty of licking things.
Nikolai is confused. And he goes, why did you, I mean, what are you? And she goes, let me think.
And then it tasted like regular old jizz. What a waste, she thought. And I agree. I agree.
Well, and then she swallowed, clearing her mouth of any residual semen. Then she noticed it. On the tail end, the finish, it tasted cleaner, crisper than usual cum.
It's refreshing.
Like the air after a new snowfall. She started to giggle and then she couldn't stop. If this wasn't some eggnog-induced fever dream, then she had just had Santa's dick in her mouth. He had seen her naked and had licked her pussy and he'd liked it. Oh, and his jizz had notes of freshly fallen snow. Oh my God.
I mean, it's fantastic. Do I wish that he had like cocoa? Yeah, 100%. But this leans more typical romance novel, despite the whole magical piece of it being Santa. Like,
yeah,
had it not been Santa and just like a hot silver fox, like this could all be a great, great romance in itself.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I'll take it, I guess. But I understand.
So she is laughing and Nikolai says, Kate, did all the coming break you, baby? And she replies, your jizz. It's magical.
Which, I don't know that I've ever said jizz.
I don't like it.
To a partner.
No.
So he takes her into the bathroom and she goes, wait, I need to pee.
Yeah.
Which, it's funny because, like, you can have a man's face.
Oh, yeah.
In your most intimate parts and you still don't want them to see you pee.
No.
I see you pee. Throwback to Halloween.
The Halloween is coming.
But she does say you were all up in my business and a girl's got a pH balance to maintain.
Which, by the way, there as we learned from Allie Hazelwood, there is no proof. Also, this is not the reason why you're supposed to pee. It's like
clear out your
urethra. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
In theory, and to prevent you from getting a UTI. It has nothing to do with the pH balance. Although semen can fuck with your pH balance.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But so she's like explaining this and she lets out too high a laugh. It says, did she sound as unhinged as she felt? It was as if that last orgasm had knocked something loose inside of her and she was feeling everything all at once. And he says, Kate, I'm not going to try to stop you from peeing. Just let me know when you're finished. And he leaves the bathroom like a normal human.
Yes. So then she pees, she gets in the shower and then calls out for him. And the second the words left her mouth, her heart began to race. She was about to see Santa Claus naked.
10 out of 10. No notes.
Also, the first time you're about to see someone naked, like you can, that's
the anticipation.
The anticipation, the nerves, the excitement, all of it like rolled into one. So he steps into the shower.
And she goes, before her stood a massive expanse of thick muscle, chest hair, and tattoos. A pattern of geometric snowflakes covered his thick forearms. Well, call me Mrs. Claus.
So good. And also, like, this is the hottest fucking Santa ever.
Ever. Yes, absolutely.
She wanted to trace the dark ink with her tongue. Get it, girl. Her eyes moved up, taking in every delicious inch of him. They snagged on one of his nipples. It was pierced. Badass Santa. And I am here for it.
Love it.
He kisses her slowly. She tries to deepen it. He's kind of pushing back at her. And she's like, what are you doing? He says, washing you. And she says, we can wash later, please. And then how about this? I want to learn more about you. You have to answer 5 questions and I want real detailed answers. If you do that, then I'll give you what you need. She nods and he calls her a good girl. The good girl in this one is well done.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Yeah. It says her whole body shivered. Like you get that little, that little detail that she likes hearing it. She's got a little bit of praise kink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's good. While he wanted to know everything about her, he also struggled to find the necessary executive functioning to form actual questions, being that all his blood was currently residing in his cock.
They can only think with one at a time.
Yeah, it's true.
And she says, I want questions too. I get to ask them to ask you questions too. So she's also having a hard time articulating anything. This is like cute and whatnot, asking about like what a good first date would be. She asks why his name is Nikolai, and he says, because it's what my parents named me.
Yeah.
Reasonable. But I guess they all have some version of Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
So then he says to her, you don't have to answer this one if it's too personal. But earlier you mentioned you had a soon-to-be ex-husband. Can I know more about that? So she says Basically, I just wasn't happy anymore. When Adrian and I met, we were different people. We were young, well, younger anyway, and we'd been growing apart for years. At some point, he started making all of these little negative remarks about how I did my hair or the clothes I wore, the hours I worked, or how loud my laugh was. Not to mention the fact that he could do absolutely nothing for himself. One day, I woke up and realized I had 3 children instead of 2, and one of those children was a 45-year-old man who was mean to me, and so I left him. He was belligerent. He said that because he never cheated on me or laid a hand on me, that I had no right to a divorce. He told me he would never sign the divorce papers. I've tried to shield the kids from it, but it's been hard. And this one of the reviews had said, like, it was touching on there's other reasons for divorce,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
And that's okay.
It's okay.
To choose your own happiness in a situation where, no, there wasn't cheating and there wasn't abuse, but in some ways that was a little bit of emotional abuse.
It's a little bit of abuse, yes.
But like you still have the right to happiness, and it was
yes. It
was a nice little addition into this to
I agree.
To make something that for a 59-page erotic novel gave it a little depth, and I appreciated it. I liked it a lot. And you see a lot more of that now on like Instagram and TikTok and people saying like, and there's, you know, the mass of women in their late 30s who are just choosing themselves right now.
Yes.
And it's all over the place. So it was a nice add into this book. I liked it a lot.
I loved it. I think it's so important now more than ever, as like the world continues to burn around us, to kind of remember that we are further than we were. And the fact that so many women are feeling comfortable enough to talk about their experiences and post it and let other people learn from them. The fact that we're starting to see it represented more and more in media. I remember the first time a Hallmark movie featured a divorcee as the main character. Like that was after I graduated college. That just wasn't done. If the female character had kids or had a husband at one point, he's dead now.
Right.
You did not portray divorce in like anything visible and family centric, because it just like it wasn't okay. It wasn't talked about. It was something that people whispered about behind your back, like at church, you know, like, and it's not gone. Like that stigma's not gone. But I do feel hope that we are getting to a point where one, people who ended up in marriages where they're not happy are feeling more and more comfortable, safer, have the resources to be able to choose themselves and leave. But also, people who aren't yet married are looking at their future and their partner or their potential partners and saying, I'm not settling. I'm not going to end up in a loveless marriage just because I feel pressured to fulfill these milestones in my life.
Right. To be on this crazy timeline.
Yeah.
Self-imposed timeline.
Yes, completely. A lot of the world does not give me hope. And this is one of the few things that I do feel strongly that we are moving in the right direction on.
Well, and in this story, he responds so perfectly.
Yeah.
He says, can I hug you? And then says, thank you for sharing that with me. You are so brave and you deserved so much more than that. And that's all somebody like that needs, is for somebody to tell them that they were brave and that they were doing the right thing and choosing themselves.
Yes. And then she responds perfectly too, because she says, I know. Mm-hmm. She knows that she deserved better. And that's the thing, is like knowing that you deserve better, doing something about it, like that is something to be admired.
Yeah. And I mean, it's good to say I know, but also on the other side of that, even when you know, it's good to hear it validated,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So then they like have their moment. And then she goes, favorite movie, mm-hmm. which happens to be Alien and Mamma Mia. Interesting choices.
Yeah.
Okay.
She has a moment because Nikolai says, what's wrong with Alien? Besides, like, Ripley is a total badass, which is Sigourney Weaver's character in Alien.
I've never seen it.
It is a really good movie. It's really good science fiction. But Nikolai says one of his reindeer is named Ripley. And Kate goes, that's not in the song.
I mean, would I have said the exact same thing? 1,000%. Without a doubt, I would have been like, no, not a chance. There's no way. I will not accept that.
It gets worse because he says, Kate, baby, reindeer don't live forever. And she goes, Donner is dead.
It's great.
It is great. I love it so much.
He says they lived very full lives, or I assume they did. They died before I was born. And she goes, mm-hmm. Okay, fine. I'll try to carry on. And he says, you're very brave. All of
it's
this
so good.
Was fantastic.
It's
then
so
he
good.
Says that Mamma Mia is his other favorite movie. And she's like, me too. That's my favorite movie too. So then she says, okay, if you had to fuck to an ABBA song, what would it be?
Yeah.
Hilarious. He says, yes. Fernando. And she goes with Gimme, Gimme, Gimme.
Okay, but before we move past this, he says it'd have to be Fernando. And she says, in the most K voice ever, that's a wild answer. You have to elaborate.
I actually said something very similar to this the other day.
Yeah, you say something similar to this a lot.
Yeah, I do. She says, gimme, gimme, gimme. And he's mm-hmm. like, that's not about sex.
Yeah.
She goes, I don't mean thematically. I mean rhythmically. My sense of rhythm is too good. If I listen to music during sex, I will fuck to the rhythm of it. It's unavoidable. I can't help it. But gimme, gimme, gimme has a perfect sex rhythm. I mean, it's pretty breakneck, but I can keep up.
Incredible.
So good. So they get out of the shower, which this mm-hmm. is wild.
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, I know.
This is wild.
So she says, enough. And he goes, did I do something wrong? She goes, questions later, fucking now. I need you inside of me. I need mm-hmm. this inside of me. So he picks her up, carries her into the bedroom. Now, it's winter. We don't get
it
where it is, but I think it says something about snow on the ground. Yeah. He's walking barefoot in the snow. So he brings her into the bedroom, asks where the condoms are. She points him in that direction. He grabs them.
And the lube.
Great.
Yep.
And then starts to carry her out of the bedroom. And she goes, where are you going? The bed was right there. And he goes, not going to bed. He brings her outside onto the front lawn so that they can fuck in his sleigh. Do I hate it? Not at all. But they're wet and it's the middle of winter. They're going to get frostbite.
I mean, the sleigh is bigger on the inside or some such, and it's warm in there, so it's probably
but
fine.
The sleigh is not enclosed. This is not like they're going
it
to
is.
Have, is it?
Yes.
No.
Yes. His sleigh didn't look like the simple open-air sleigh that Kate had seen in every picture or movie featuring Santa. It was more like a jumbo-sized stagecoach. It had walls and a roof, and the outside was a deep red.
Okay, I think I was too bothered by the fact that they were outside wet in the snow.
I understand. Usually that's me, but I was given an explanation.
So the sleigh was so massive, they were both able to stand side by side in it. Up front, there were two bucket seats, and in the back, a padded bench, which Kate sat down on.
So Nikolai knew his sleigh looked impressive. It was large to accommodate, well, his larger-than-average body. But the bench was a lot narrower than the bed that was sitting just inside. He was suddenly worried that he had miscalculated. Maybe sleigh sex was hotter in theory than in practice. Like Roadhead.
We've all been there. Like
I agree. I am here for this.
Like, is the fantasy that I created going to live up to what I created in my head? Or did I severely miscalculate that? 100% been there. This is, again, another one of the books where, like, we get protection, which is not a usual thing that we see in a romance novel, especially not an erotica.
Yeah. And not only do we get, like, protection.
They make it sexy.
They make it sexy. It says, she grabbed the foil packet from him, opened it, and rolled it onto his already weeping cock. He noticed that her nails were bright red as her fingers glided down his shaft. He never knew that putting a condom on could be so erotic. It's top notch.
It was good.
And they use lube.
Yep. He holds up the lube and asks how do you want this? And she squirts it onto his pointer and middle finger and lifted up and widened her legs inside of me.
It's so good.
So they finally, we are 38 pages in. We're more than halfway through this book and we're just now getting penetration.
Yep.
So finally he loosened his hold on her waist and she began to slide down the thick length of him inch by glorious inch. Her body stretched and stretched for him because remember, couldn't put her hands around it. Every time she thought he was done, he fed more of himself into her. Once she had taken all of him, she left out a shaky breath. It was overwhelming, but it felt right. She had never been filled like that before. He says, ah, that's it. Good girl taking all of me. Good stuff.
No notes. And then she says she needs more, and he wrapped his hand around the back of her neck and leaned her back, putting enough space between their bodies so he could slide his other hand between them, brushed his thumb along the side of her clit and worked her clit while she's fucking him.
Fantastic.
Top notch.
We get another really good description of her orgasm. It swelled from inside of her, drowning everything out except white hot pleasure. She wasn't sure if her eyes were open anymore because her vision lit up like a Christmas tree. Her climax went on and on. Heat laced down into her fingers and toes, and the only thing she could do was feel. Fantastic. The writing is so good.
Yep. It's really, really, really well done.
He thinks that he had never been so hard or turned on in his life. Mm-hmm. He can still kind of feel the orgasm aftershocks, if you will, as she kind of comes out of this post-orgasmic haze. She says, so good. And he says, yeah. And she goes, I mean, I've had better. What?
Yeah, that was a choice. He says, oh, have you? And she had said it teasingly, but Nikolai felt a tiny flicker of disappointment. Sure, he wouldn't assume to be her best, but after that, she certainly was his. She thrust with more force, this time looking into his eyes. No, actually, I haven't. I don't think you need to say I've had better.
No.
Even as a joke, that shit sticks with you.
Yeah, 100%. And like, you're not going to tell somebody that's not great that they were the best you've ever had. So why would you tell somebody that is the best you've ever had that they weren't that
great?
Like, there's a time and a place for the ego check, and that is not it.
Yeah. She says, I need to see you come. I need you to fuck me, Nikolai. I want it hard, and I don't want you to stop until you come. And he says, I want you to beg for it. And so she begs. She begs over and over and over again. And he finally says in a low voice, good girl. All of a sudden, they were moving. Nikolai stood and spun her around so they were both facing the bench. And he set her so that her knees were on the bench. And she placed her hands on the back of the seat. And he says, hold tight, beautiful.
It's great. It's all working. Mm. It's all good. And then they kiss and pleasure ripped through him. He came so hard that spots flashed in his eyes and his legs began to shake. They kissed and came until all the pleasure was wrung from them and Nikolai brought them both down to lay on the bench. He says that was, and she finishes for him, a Christmas miracle. And again, he let out a deep belly laugh. Santa is ho-ho-hoing after he just had sex. 100%.
Oh my God. Make it stop. She says, I guess I must have made the nice list after all. He says, baby, after that, you've got yourself a lifetime spot on the nice list. And she goes, you know, I'm not sure if nice really suits me, though. Is there a badass career bitch list or a kind but kind of a cunt list? That feels more applicable. Yeah.
Mood. So he does say there's not actually a list. And this is another one of those things that, like, I really liked. It wasn't necessary, but I liked it.
I did,
too. So he says that there is no naughty list, no nice list. And she goes, how do you decide who's been good enough to get presents? And he says, Kate, all children are good enough to get presents. The only kids who don't get presents from me are kids who don't celebrate Christmas. And magic finds its way to them through their own traditions and in other ways. And then he says, I mean, kids act out for a reason. I'm not going to punish a child because they aren't getting the support they need. Like, I should not be tearing up.
so good.
In a romance novel about Santa getting fucked. Like, so good. And then she realizes, like, you're supposed to be delivering presents and says, holy shit, did I ruin Christmas by fucking Santa? I was so horny, I wasn't even thinking.
And he explains, no, you did not ruin Christmas. Time slows according to my knees. I don't exactly control it, but when I get tired or hungry, or apparently desperately need to fuck one particularly beautiful woman, it slows down. It looks like I still have some time. So they go back inside and fall asleep together. And when Kate wakes up, she wakes up to an empty bed, which
she should have expected.
She should have expected, but also it is a rough way to wake up.
Yes. Like, absolutely. Absolutely. After having mind-blowing sex, to wake up and not be snuggled and go for like round, what, three?
Yeah. She thinks to herself, she had known it was probably a one-night thing, but as he held her in his arms, she couldn't help but think that maybe he had wanted more too. It really seemed like he had. But she comes out to the living room and she sees the cat chewing on something bright red and shiny under the tree. It looked like an envelope. She walked over to the tree, pet her disobedient cat, and picked up the envelope. What a mood.
So she pulled out a small stack of papers. Her name was at the top, and so were her husband's. These were her divorce papers, and they were signed.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, how did he get these? How did he even know? And then she remembers that as she had been dozing off, he had asked what she wanted for Christmas, and she said, you. And that ass ex of mine to sign our divorce papers. I'm ready to move on. It says here Kate was 43 years old, and for the first time in a long ass time, she allowed herself to believe in a little Christmas magic, or at least the magic of one extra burly silver fox. So she gets a lovely note from him.
Mm-hmm.
When you asked for signed divorce papers last night, I wasn't sure if you were being serious, but the idea that I could give you something like that and take a little bit of your stress away this Christmas was too good to pass up. I hope I didn't overstep. I also hope that I didn't complicate things with your now legally ex-husband. Truthfully, I think I might have given him a bit of a scare when I burst into his hotel room early this morning. He was shaking so badly he dropped the pen several times before he could actually sign his name. But I don't feel sorry for whatever distress I caused him. After how he treated you, he deserved it. How anyone could treat you poorly is a mystery to me, Kate.
Mm-hmm. So he also goes on to say, I didn't get these divorce papers signed to make room for myself. I just wanted to put a smile on that beautiful face of yours, even if I wouldn't be there to see it. But on the off chance that last night wasn't a one-time thing, I'd really fucking like to see it. To see you, that is. I can't get you out of my head, Kate. I don't want to. So he had written his phone number and she giggles to herself, Santa has a phone number. And he had given it to her. She couldn't control the grin that spread across her face as she dialed his number.
I mean, I tell my kids all the time that I've got Santa's phone number.
Of course.
I wish that that were this case, but alas. And he picks up the phone after two rings when she calls him and says, Merry Christmas, beautiful girl. And she says, Merry Christmas, Santa. We get your favorite, though.
1 year later, epilogue.
This is adorable.
Yes.
He drags himself up the walkway toward the cheery red door. The only thing keeping him going was what waited for him on the other side. So it's a year later. It's Christmas morning. And he walks in the door and both of her kids run and jump up and like wrap themselves around him and like, that's the dream for any single mom.
Yeah.
One of them says, Santa gave me a sea monkeys kit, only they aren't monkeys, they're shrimp. You can name one if you want. I read all the directions myself, and you know what? They breathe through their feet, which I love that. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. He says, that is wild. Would you like to breathe through your feet? And she goes, no, it'd probably be too stinky, which I think is adorable and feels very on brand for a child.
Yes. So Kate is in the kitchen making breakfast, which like Christmas breakfast is the best.
Yeah.
After all the presents have been opened, like pancakes and eggs and bacon, like that's awesome. So it says Nikolai wasn't technically a parent yet, but he wore his exhaustion like a badge. He listened to the kids talk during breakfast about their presents and Christmas movies and their theories on how Santa could possibly travel to so many houses in one night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's to find somebody that like loves kids in the way that obviously Santa, I mean, is it was a nice way to end things.
Yeah.
They decide to watch a Hallmark movie about a well-to-do career woman and a small town man who is a baker, but also the mayor.
It's perfect. And then he gives her a present, which is a wand vibrator covered in little cartoon Santas.
That's not a Christmas present, Santa. Come on. That should be like a Tuesday present.
Yeah, I agree. But he says, you better not come until I say. She says, what if I can't help it? And he whispers in her ear, voice deep and stern, well, then you'll be on the naughty list. And so she came. The end.
What did you rate this one?
This is a good question. I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's the Christmas spirit. I think it's getting 5 stars from me.
Even though you pictured me as the main character the whole time.
I was so tempted to knock off points for that. But that's not the author's fault. It's not the author's fault. Otherwise, this does really, really work. It's very wholesome. Like, it is insta-love, but it doesn't feel unrealistic. Like, we get just enough of each of their respective loneliness, and we get just enough like going from like, oh, immediate attraction to like getting to know each other and seeing each other. And like, the writing is really, really good. I think this was great fun. I think it's a perfect Christmas time erotic novella.
I agree. 5 stars for me too.
Five stars for you too?
Yes. I mean, it was from the beginning, I was picturing myself in there. And at first it was against my will. And then I was like, I want to be here. I didn't realize that I had a Santa kink, but apparently I do. And the writing was fantastic. There was enough of those sweet moments that were not the sex moments in there to make it have that like full-bodied romance feeling.
Yeah.
For something that with such a short book, we don't get too often.
Agreed.
And I loved it. It was so good.
Fantastic. So time for my favorite part. Who did you cast?
So I almost cast Lucy Hale for Kate because in picturing myself in this story so much, she is my fan cast for myself.
Yeah.
But she didn't fit in this role. So instead, I went with Rachel McAdams.
This is a great choice.
I just felt like she could do the single mom vibes for this. Yeah. And then this is not going to be a surprise to anybody. As soon as you hear the word Silver Fox,
obviously, I know exactly who you cast for Nikolai.
Anderson Cooper.
Absolutely.
Throw some fake tattoos on that man. I mean, he's not going to be as into it as Nikolai was because women are not his preference.
Yeah,
but that is the ultimate Silver Fox is Anderson Cooper.
It really, really is. Yeah. Great casting. Fantastic. What are we reading next week? Since it's going to be New Year's next week when this episode drops.
Yep. So we are going to read Midnight Drop by Lee Jacot. We got the New Year's theme. I don't know too much about it, but it did pop up as like recommendation on Goodreads under Tinsel and Tentacles or something like that. I don't think it's got the same vibes at all.
No. But if people who liked Tinsel and Tentacles liked this book, then I think we're going to be in good company.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure the ratings were decent too. So Midnight Drop, that's next week. Have you been reading anything else?
I actually did. I traveled this week and I got by an Instagram post. I'm a big Pride and Prejudice girly.
Okay.
So this is Potions and Prejudice, a cozy fantasy romance by T. Harlow.
I
loved it. It was fantastic. It is obviously an alternate universe Pride and Prejudice kind of vibe. There's spice. There's some good conflict. The vibes are top notch. It's a quick read. It's a cozy read. It's not literature, but it is quite fun. And I really enjoyed it.
Love that.
How about you? Reading anything else?
I started a new series.
Oh.
I don't know if it's technically Omegaverse, but kind of has those vibes. So okay. It's the Ironside Academy series. So the first one's called Plier. The second one is Turner. So it's a 6-book series. I'm halfway through the second one already. And the first one was like a 450-page book. Like I'm blowing through these books.
Nice.
There has not been any spice yet, but it is 1 sigma female and 10 alpha male mates.
That's a lot of male mates.
Right?
That is too many for me.
Yes, but I haven't gotten to the point yet to figure out if it's going to work out with all of them. It is, obviously, because it has to. But yeah, no, so far it's really good.
Okay.
So The Ironside Academy by Jane Washington is the author for that one.
Incredible.
Well, if you've made it this far and you're celebrating Merry Christmas this week, we are all so very grateful for all of your listening, and we're excited to continue to bring you more of these as we get closer to the new year.
I know, it's crazy. Can you believe we've almost been doing this for a year?
No, I can't at all.
Time has no meaning.
No, not at all. It's awesome. But if you made it this far, don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, tell all of your friends, leave us some reviews. And with that,
we are at our wit's end.
I'll see you next time.
Was that? As it was for me. You have been listening to the What